Welcome to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast, brought to you by the Sales Enablement Collective. Each episode, we sit down with sales enablement and revenue leaders from around the world and invite them to share their expertise and experience with the community. On this episode, we spoke with Jared Spiewak about sales and marketing alignment and how he views its importance coming from the marketing side of the equation. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Thanks, Jared, for taking the time to come on to the podcast. I really appreciate it. And thanks for taking the time. Really, really great.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So before we sort of dive into our topic for today, which is sort of very much sales and marketing alignment and sort of the keys to achieving that, it's sort of the dream situation for every organization, but it can be a little bit tricky to achieve. But before we dive into that, could you sort of introduce yourself for our listeners and sort of explain your background and sort of what's gotten you to this point in your career today?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jared Spiewak. I'm the founder and lead strategist at Comet Fuel. My background is basically marketing my entire career. I did a little over a year in corporate real estate marketing. That transitioned to working for a law firm marketing agency where I specialized in SEO. I was there for about 2 years. And that kind of slowly transitioned from me building up my own client base on the side. It grew and grew and grew. And I transitioned from working for an agency to starting my own agency called Blue Dog Media in 2018. That transitioned over time with, we specialized in SEO and clients just kept asking, hey, like, will you run our ads? Will you run our ads? For a long time, we said no. Eventually, we said yes. And what we noticed was that on the ad side, we were just helping our clients grow faster and more easily, and they were less frustrated with their marketing. And we looked at it and went, well, our objective isn't to be an SEO company. Our objective is to help our clients make more money. And if ads are a better medium for us to do that as of right now, then that's where we're going to triple down on. And in 2021, we rebranded to Comet Fuel, and we kind of split off the SEO side of the business, kind of, and, you know, handed that off to somebody else. And now we just focus on ads.
That's really awesome, and it's a great background. I'd love to be able to speak with someone with a marketing background. Obviously, this is an enablement podcast, but I think as sort of the years have gone by and sales enablement is more and more evolving into revenue enablement, we see the marriage between sales, marketing, customer success, and enablement sort of having fingers in all the pies. So it's really great to sort of be able to talk to a sort of marketing expert in that sense. But sort of onto the topic for today, which is that sort of sales and marketing alignment. Like, just on a top level, how do you see the sales and marketing alignment landscape at the moment? Where does that sort of sit? Where are organizations generally sort of sitting with that?
Yeah, so in my experience, for a lot of service-based companies, much more so in SaaS companies as well, those are the two verticals that we work with, their sales and marketing are very much so often two separate teams, where I can't tell you the number of companies that we work with where I have no idea what their sales team looks like. I can't tell you how many people are on it. I can't tell you what roles they have. I can't tell you very well what their processes are, so on and so forth. And you have these kind of two independent separate teams trying to achieve ultimately a common goal. Marketing is trying to generate some demand and leads for that sales team. That sales team is then trying to turn those leads into qualified leads, into sales, so on and so forth. And when both of those teams are working independently of each other, they may even be working against each other, where marketing is making decisions that are good for marketing, not considering the data and what's good on the sales side, and vice versa. Sales is making decisions that may not be good for the marketing side either.
That makes a lot of sense. And then if you, as a sort of in that situation, suspect that your organization might be in that position where the teams are working against each other, what are the sort of ways to identify that misalignment before even thinking about sort of correcting them? How do you begin to identify it and sort of bring it, to bring it to the powers that be and say, this is something that needs action?
Yeah, so I think that it's important to understand, like, what is the end goal of all this? The end goal is to generate more revenue, right? We want more sales, we want more revenue, and if we map out every step that has to happen, like, let's say a service-based business, somebody is going to have to see that ad. They're going to have to click on that ad. Once they're on that website, they're going to have to see an offer that they're interested in. That offer is going to have to be well explained by the copy. The copy is going to have to be easy to read through the UI UX design. And then once somebody actually opts in, you know, they fill out that form, they call, what have you, if they're not ready to move forward right away, like, whoever answers that phone or responds to that email is going to have to get back to them quickly. They're going to have to do so in a, you know, in a good way that actually encourages that person, persuades that person to take that next step. They're going to have to nurture that person. They're going to have to present them with a sales offer that they're able and willing to say yes to. They're going to have to give good pricing that's going to be good enough for the business to actually make a profit on. They're going to have to manage their cash flow and their finances properly to have a good profit margin on it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could probably name out 15 more steps. And that's everything that has to happen between somebody clicking on that ad and you actually having cash in the bank. And so if any of those steps are kind of out of order or underperforming, then everything before and after is also going to struggle to get the desired results. And so instead of looking at any of that independently, I would recommend looking at every step of the overall revenue cycle together as one cohesive team. This is everything that's working together. If our, you know, yes, our ROI could be higher if we had a 5% lower cost per click, but if there's other really big problems in the 27 steps that happen in between that click and actually getting that ROI, then spending, you know, 4 months to lower the cost per click a little bit may be a lot less effective than spending 2 weeks to go, oh, hey, we actually looked at our close rate by salesperson, and for whatever reason, Bob just really sucks at closing these types of deals. But Sarah's really good at it. So let's just have Bob and Sarah work together for like 2 weeks and like figure out, you know, where he's going wrong, what have you. And maybe that's going to achieve way more results and faster than those 4 months that you just spent going, hey, how can we incrementally decrease the cost per click by another 5%?
That makes a lot of sense. That really, the prioritizing, the identifying of the key piece, like you mentioned. I'm wondering, in terms of when you talked about sort of going into an organization and sort of not even knowing what the sales team looks like and those sort of total siloed situations, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see sort of consistently? Is there a theme that sort of crops up over and over, and like organizations making the same sort of mistakes, and sort of what can our listeners learn from the mistakes that you've seen in your experience, sort of take them back and try and avoid them in their own organizations?
Yeah, so I think some of the most common things are just buy-in. It can be quite difficult reaching out to somebody saying, hey, we need this data as to, you know, which of the leads will qualify, which of the leads turned into sales, and we need it in a reasonable time. And we need it to be done accurately. And sometimes I can be like, oh, well, you know, this salesperson, you know, they like doing a lot of things on pen and paper. Then like they update all their numbers in the CRM like at the end of the month. And it's like, great. But the entire month, they're responsible for like 35% of the sales. We were optimizing considering that all those leads were bad leads because we had no data to actually go off of. And so just making sure that there's buy-in and be like, hey, like, yes, the sales team is responsible for that CRM, but the marketing team may need you to change how your statuses are aligned. They may need you to maintain an additional custom field to make sure that we have the data that's actually required for us to be able to do what we need to do as effectively as possible. And sometimes it can be difficult to get that buy-in, to maintain that buy-in and say, hey, you have this one status in your CRM. That means that they're in three separate parts of the sales process, but you use that same status for all three of them. It's really hard for us to know if that was a good lead or not. If someone can have the status when they were a good lead, but they just didn't show up to a demo call, if they were a bad lead and they never booked a demo call, etc. Those are two very different scenarios. We might approach that differently in trying to, you know, remarket to that person or what have you. So really having that buy-in and maintaining that buy-in and having everybody else understand why it's so important for us to all work together, for us to all understand how each other are measuring success and working within our own systems is usually the challenge, is that buy-in.
That makes sense. And where, when you sort of aiming to get that buy-in, like how does someone sort of go about that? Because do you ever sort of experience stubborn sales teams or stubborn marketing teams who are sort of resistant to that change? I mean, a change can be scary, especially when you're sort of so set in your ways. Salespeople sort of almost infamously, you know, tend to have their own ways of doing things, like you mentioned. So where can sort of is there sort of a weaning period where you can sort of ease people into change? How do you sort of ensure that sort of buy-in is it doesn't scare people away sort of trying to make those changes?
Yeah, so it's a couple things. We do definitely run into companies that are just very stubborn to the change, just absolutely refuse to, and there's nothing that we can really do about it. But we're in a position where usually the person that we're usually working with, or at least have direct access to, is the owner. And I just go right to them. And it's like, hey, like, this is what we need. And we don't always get the buy-in immediately, but because they're the owner, they get to dictate to their teams, like, hey, this is something you just have to do now. And I have no problem then going back to them and saying, like, hey, like, here are like 800 records in the CRM that haven't been updated in like 3 months. Like, we need to know what these statuses are. Like, the other team isn't helping us like get our job done. So I can push back on that, no problem. The unfortunate side of it is, though, for the clients that don't immediately want, like, don't immediately understand, aren't immediately bought in, usually what gets them to buy in is when something goes wrong and they're like, hey, fix this. And we're like, we can't. This is the scenario where if we had this data, we'd be able to fix it. And usually because of that, something has gone wrong and now it's important. Like, now I understand the importance of like what this could do for us. But unfortunately, you're also in a position where it's like, great, the data that would have enabled us to fix this problem doesn't exist because we would have had to have started this 3 months ago. But because we can start today, maybe it can help us fix this over time. But now we know next time, now that we know what the close rate is on an ongoing basis, or the close rate per product, per service, or per campaign, what have you, now we can account for this in the future. And so sometimes it is just having that real world example and saying, hey, all of a sudden, like, we're not seeing any big changes in the ad account, but the revenue that you're generating from the ads just dropped like 75% all of a sudden. Nobody has any sort of explanation, but we're also missing like 70% of the data that would tell us where something went wrong. Like, now do you, now are you bought in? And oftentimes the answer at that point is yes.
That makes a lot of sense. That starting from the top and the positive influence from the top sort of feeding down, that makes a lot of sense. One of the things we talked about a little bit about sort of the data points and the importance of data and how sort of data can influence those sort of specific factors. Do you have a sort of a list of, say, five key data sets that you sort of focus in on, or is it sort of very case by case depending on the organization? I'm thinking for our listeners, is there sort of things that they can go in and immediately pick out that they might have access to, that sort of having visibility on those specific data points are going to immediately sort of help them with that alignment?
Yeah, so there's it will be a little bit different exactly like how much priority you should give to each individual metric, just depending on what your goals are, the type of business, etc. But a few basic things is you should be able to understand what marketing channels your leads came from. I can tell you from my experience working with lead gen companies that like 98% have no idea where their leads are coming from. It's just guesswork, or they have like a box on their form that's like, hey, how did you find us? Or like, whoever's answering the phone is like, where did you find us? And that stuff has been proven time and time again to not be all that accurate. There is use to it, but it wouldn't be all I rely on. So understanding, like, hey, if I look at our all the context that we have, all the leads that we currently have, how many came in from individual different marketing channels, that already can save you a ton, because it's very common for us to get contact and be like, hey, our overall leads are down like 30%, like what's going wrong? But that same message was sent out to every single person or team that works on their marketing, because they don't know where the lead drop off is coming from. So it's just a message that gets blasted out to everybody. And then people are coming back with like, well, what we're seeing inside of the analytics account, the ad account, the email report, what have you, is that everything looks normal on our end. So it must be the other team, and it just kind of gets passed across because nobody has the data to be able to say, hey, where did this go wrong? So very simply, being able to understand which of your leads are coming from different platforms will enable you to understand how profitable different marketing channels are for you. If leads go down or revenue goes down, you can hopefully identify specific channels that was impacted most. And then from there, you probably are tracking tons of data within your CRM that just can't be tied back to your marketing individually, because it's just, oh, this lead came in and we guessed where it came from, or we use some sort of proxy like asking them where they came from. And so just that single step is massive, and one that I get really excited when we work with somebody who understands the value of that, because those campaigns are always way more profitable, and they're profitable a lot faster as well.
That makes a lot of sense. And one of the things I'm thinking, you've mentioned obviously using the CRM quite a few times already. Is that sort of the key tool to that, or is there other sort of piece of technology that sort of people can implement or should be looking to add to their tech stack? Or can all of this sort of be turned around just focusing on sort of tidying up and being much more disciplined with your sort of CRM usage across the team?
Yeah, so depending on what you're trying to track, you may need additional software, but in general, the CRM should be the source of truth, not the ad account, not the analytics account. Like, it doesn't matter how many leads Google Ads says or Facebook Ads says or your SEO says or your email says, et cetera, because those are all individual channels. Every channel measures things differently. What should be the single source of truth is that CRM. Like, if the CRM says that they came in from X, Y, and Z, that's where they came in from. You might have an issue with the process if you identify that they came in from that channel, but the source of truth should be that CRM, where everyone's using that data, everyone's using the same data set that's analyzed the same way, that works, that functions the same way, to say, is this working or is this not working?
That makes a lot of sense. I'm thinking, obviously, for our audience being sort of enablement listeners, and like I mentioned at the start, that sort of the growth into revenue enablement and the sort of expansion of enablement across sort of revenue generating teams, how do you see that affecting the achievement of sales and marketing alignment? Is that something where there's still work to be done, or is that sort of have you seen sort of positive correlations with sort of enablement teams being more involved with sales and marketing versus just sales? Or sort of how's your experience been with enablement teams in your role? It's something I'm curious to know about.
Yeah, so I think one of the interesting things, and it does somewhat depend on the volume of sales a business is doing, you know, it's a very big difference if you're working like one deal with one salesperson versus if you like have one salesperson that works like 1,000 different deals a day, because you just, you know, your leads cost like $8 because you're in a, you know, high volume industry. But some of the interesting things that we've been able to see clients do changing things like what salespeople get assigned, what types of leads, or how leads are redistributed internally based off of, you know, hey, this salesperson is particularly good at closing these types of leads or leads from this particular channel, and all of a sudden the return on that marketing channel may be, I've seen it literally double by them just going, hey, we used to have the leads all go to salesperson A. We think that based off of the feedback we get from these calls, that salesperson B would actually be more equipped to sell these leads. So we're going to run a test where we're going to have the leads go to salesperson B instead of A. We're going to try that for a month and see what happens. Next thing you know, hey, the customer acquisition cost or the CAC of the marketing campaign has now gone down 50% because that person was just a much better fit. And so we've also seen, especially higher lead volume companies say, hey, we're going to segment our campaigns by different locations, by different products or services that we sell, and we're going to have different salespeople handle, you know, specific types of products and services that that they just statistically perform better on in general. And all of a sudden, the sales team is getting way better results because marketing has redesigned how the campaigns were structured, et cetera, to send the right leads to the right people. And then on the business side, the sales side, they've made sure that, you know, that they've basically been able to communicate to us, you know, Bob is really good at these deals, make sure that Bob gets these deals, Sarah's really good at these deals, make sure that Sarah gets these deals, so on and so forth. And by through that alignment of the sales and marketing, just marketing performs better and sales performs better, which means that the business performs better and everybody's a whole lot happier at the end of the day.
That makes sense. And one thing that might pop into my head thinking of that is, do you ever sort of get concerned about the possibility that, you know, Bob or Sarah sort of get not take offense, but sort of are become demotivated for the fact that they're getting moved off certain deals? Or how do you sort of, I guess, prepare organizations for maybe the, not the fallout from it, but do you ever see sort of a dip in performance as a result of being moved around and it maybe not working, or a sales rep becoming demotivated off the back of that?
Not from my purview. I mean, I'm not generally involved in all the sales discussions, so it could be happening behind the scenes and I'm just, you know, not familiar with it. But in my experience, at least from a purely data-driven perspective, what we do tend to see are, you know, higher close rates, which, especially if you're if you're a kill what you eat salesperson, then, you know, that's great. You know, there's a lot more for you to eat if you're being sent the deals that you're most likely going to be able to close. For other people, like, I'm sure that some people could be upset, like, oh, hey, we're going to take you off the big deals because you're just not that good at it, and we're going to give you a lot of the small deals or what have you. But, you know, we're just not as involved in those conversations. But I'd like to think that we're making everybody's lives easier, you know, even when it comes to, you know, just communicating, be like, hey, you know, what are the most common questions that you get asked? And just be like, oh, you know, people complain about X, Y, and Z. And it's like, okay, well, what if we answered those questions for people before they even had to contact you through the landing page or through a VSL or what have you? And then maybe we might be able to take your pitch from 30 minutes down to 20 minutes. And either your day is now easier, or you can just, you know, sell more throughout the day or what have you. So, well, I can't say definitively, I'd like to think that we make their lives easier.
That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I think the fact that you can sort of see it backed up in the data is really interesting. And like you said, you know, commission based or anyone sort of getting any sort of bonuses is going to be happier with higher totals. I'm thinking now, we sort of touched on the landscape as it is at the moment and in the present, and you sort of dove really deep into that. How do you see sort of it developing in the future? Are organizations as a whole becoming more aware of the need for alignment? Is that sort of a thing where one day we can say silos are a thing of the past, or is that sort of something mm-hmm. that, you know, there'll always be a need to sort of address it? Because it feels like in the world that we're in now, where the communication is so much more thorough and everyone, different organizations can learn from each other and have people like yourself involved as well, is the sort of trend that organizations are more aligned overall, or how do you sort of see that developing?
Yeah, I would say over the past maybe 18 to 24 months, we've had more and more conversations with businesses who are easier to get to buy in, or who are already understand the benefit. You know, where we used to get on calls and say, hey, how much money did you spend on your ads last month? Everybody can answer that question. It's very simple and easy. But then when we ask, how much money did you make from your ads last month, all of a sudden it becomes way more difficult to answer that question. And so, you know, me kind of going in knowing that they won't be able to answer that question, my third question is then basically, well, isn't that a problem? Like, you're spending all this money and you don't know how much money you're getting out of it, or you can figure it out, but it takes you forever. And so we just found over time that those conversations have become easier to have with businesses, or they're already coming to us being like, oh yes, you know, I've actually, you know, read someone else's blog post that, you know, was talking about the importance of this before, or, you know, I was working with somebody else who said it was important for us to set this up, but they didn't do that for us, you know, so we knew that it was something that could be achieved, we just didn't know the specifics of it. So it has become an easier conversation. I don't know, looking, you know, 1, 3, 5 years in the future, whether it'll be super commonplace, but I think that there's more open discussion about it. I think that there are more marketers who are aware of it. I think that there are more business owners who are aware of the importance and, you know, kind of the underlying technology exists, but not necessarily how to connect it all together. So, you know, in a perfect world, yes, it'd be great. You know, I'd love to be able to go to every business and they're like, you know, tell us what we need to do and we'll just set it up, or, you know, ideally they already have it set up, you know, we just need to integrate with their existing systems. But I think it is too early to tell if it'll stay that way. But as of right now, I would say that there is a trend that it's more commonly understood or sought out by businesses.
That's really interesting. I think it's a really positive development, especially from an enablement standpoint, sort of being able to sort of have those teams on the same page, that even just creating content for them becomes more effective, the training becomes more effective as well. I'm sort of keeping one eye on the time at the moment, so just before we sort of I let you get back to your day, is there sort of one golden sort of lesson that you've sort of taken away from your time doing this, or a sort of a golden rule for sales and marketing alignment that you can sort of feed back to our listeners that they can sort of take, if they could only take one thing away from this episode, sort of what would it be? Do you have a sort of a golden rule in that sense?
Yeah, so what I always recommend to people is to focus on the path of least resistance, which is, you know, kind of going back to my earlier example, the way that I like to envision it is, think of like water flowing through different sections of pipes. Chances are each of those pipes have leaks. Yes, you can get, there are ways you can make your cost per click lower, that you can make your conversion rate higher, that you can you know, make your, you know, close rate higher on the sales front, that you can increase your pricing, your LTV, etc. But why spend 6 months trying to fix a small leak when you could spend, you know, 3 weeks trying to fix a big leak? And so I recommend, really, you know, even if you can't perfectly track it, understand that each step of that process will impact how profitable that marketing is, how profitable your website is, how profitable your sales team is, etc. And if you look for maybe not even the obvious step, we had a, interestingly enough, really quick, we had a client who, it turns out that they had a bunch of different automation teams, you know, through Zapier and, you know, Make and all this stuff kind of come in and out over the years. And it turns out that 85% of the leads that they were being sent never got assigned to a salesperson simply because there was an issue with like a Zapier integration or something like that.
Wow.
Lowering your cost per click, you know, you can do that all day. It's never going to be as impactful as taking the 10 minutes that it does for somebody to log into that account and just kind of switch things around because they change CRMs and a bunch of other stuff throughout the years. And so it's like, hey, let's look at every piece of this puzzle, even something as simple as, are automations that should be automatically working as intended actually working properly? Are the right salespeople getting assigned to it? Something as simple and fundamental as that, because who knows, that you know, pipe number 36 could be the one that's just gushing out water. And it doesn't matter if you know apply a little bit of flex tape to something that has a slow drip. Like the leak, the much bigger problem is somewhere later down the line.
That's really insightful, and I love this sort of analogy with the pipe, because it's a great way to sort of visualize it. I think that's unfortunately all we have time for, though, so I just want to say thank you, Jared, for coming on to the show and sharing those insights. I really learned a lot, and I'm 100% sure our listeners will have as well, so thank you for taking the time out of your day to share that.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast. Be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice so you don't miss a thing. And if you're hungry for more sales enablement content, visit our website, salesenablementcollective.com, for articles, events, and an easy way to join our Slack community, home to thousands of your sales enablement peers.